Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What's happening, Baltimore? It's Davis, Sanity Lounge. We were downtown recently and caught up with Johnny Alonzo to get a little update on his web series, Rosemary Street. It's a show about life in North Baltimore that follows teenagers, neighbors, and rock stars. It's created by Elena Moscat, and they're going to be shooting new episodes soon. We also heard that there's going to be a lot of cool cameos in the upcoming episodes, so follow sanity.lounge and Rosemary Street _ web series on Instagram to stay up to date on everything that's happening with this cool series. Hey, Baltimore, Sanity Lounge here with veteran of the lounge, Johnny Alonzo. So why don't you give me a little update on Rosemary Street?
Yeah, the series, Rosemary Street series. We're going to be back in production in a few weeks. We're very excited. We are with Binge TV now.
I heard that through the grapevine.
Yeah, very excited about it. Binge TV, Hulu, Roku.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to be coming out this fall.
Oh, I can't wait.
Neither can I.
Huge fan.
Thank you. I'm going to be inviting you guys, you and Rachel and Brian,
everybody,
yeah, to come up on set. I think our next set's going to be at Loyola High School.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's going to be sick, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming out, bro.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Good seeing you. Bye, son.
All right. Welcome, Baltimore. We're here again with another episode of Sanity Lounge. Today in the studio, we have the always hilarious Mike Quinlan. He is part of the Sharp Dressed Man, which is Chris Schaefer's charitable organization where he gives out suits. So we'll talk about that. He's also the man behind the second Saturday shit show that happens at the Auto Bar every week, among
every
many others.
Every month.
Sorry.
Dude, every week
did I say every other week?
Oh my God,
every week.
Dead.
Among others. We're going to get into all of it. So welcome.
Yeah, love him. And in the shit shows, the longest running.
Yeah, it's in like the Guinness Book of World Records.
Goddamn right it is.
Right. Dude, you know, it's the funny timekeeper.
I actually was the timekeeper for Casey Rowe, who's Chris's guy up in New York now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
When he did. Yeah. Oh, dude, that's on my LinkedIn. You're goddamn right it is.
Yeah,
I even
awesome.
Have the hat and the car.
Nice. That's pretty cool,
right? Yeah.
How long has that been going on? Well, I guess we
I don't
start
know
right
Casey
there.
I'm not sure when he did it. Dude, I got hit by cars a lot as a kid, so I don't really have linear. I don't have linear. I wish that was a joke. I really do. So does my mother.
How many cars did you get hit by?
Two.
I mean, that's more than most people probably.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Most people, the average is probably zero.
Yeah. That's what you would hope.
And what age, what age are we talking about? Mike?
6 and 13.
Yeah.
I had the last one at 13. I got smunched by a Porsche that was owned by one of the relatives of the guy who owned the 76ers at the time.
Nice. So you were born in Philly?
Yes, sir. Yeah, my mom still lives there in the same house I grew up in.
Okay, so were you bit by the comedy bug early, or
there's a story.
I went to a few comedy shows in Philadelphia. When I lived abroad in London, I think I went to a few shows, but no. Somebody just suggested it, and I guess.
But there's a little story behind this that took place in South Africa.
Yeah. That's how it happened. Well, I traveled quite a bit with a bunch of guys for watching soccer. We like a lot of soccer. Thank God the season's back. And we were at one of the World Cups in South Africa, and we were at
You go hard.
Oh, dude, I'm going to Portugal in October, and I'll be my 81st country. Oh. Yeah, I love to travel.
All right.
Wow. Yeah. And soccer, traveling around the world to see soccer.
I mean, are you like a Forrest Gump?
kind of. Things just happen and you just find yourself in places.
Sometimes, yeah. I got felt up doing Meals on Wheels the other day.
We'll get back to that. Like, no, say, so, we're in South Africa. No, we're kind of starting.
They told me I was going to get felt up, and I said, I don't believe it. But anyway.
We're going to bounce around a little bit.
Yeah, we're in South Africa. We're in Cape Town, and we're at this bar, and this... We're just sitting there drinking.
And what year are we talking here?
Whenever the South Africa World Cup was. I'm not kidding you. I don't remember dates.
How old are you?
I'm in my early to mid-40s.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Whatever.
Early to mid-40s?
Maybe early 40s. Early 40s.
Oh, I've you're saying then. I'm saying now.
Yeah, no. Oh, fuck no. I'm 27, asshole.
Dude, that's why I was like, dude, early 40s.
He's about to say, you look great.
I mean, you're fine. Nah, I can see that. But
black don't crack, white do frack. That's no, so whatever 15 years ago was.
Okay.
And I had just been a drunken bartender for a long time. And
that's what I was going to ask. What led you up to, like, so what, before this epiphany in South Africa,
you were a bartender drinker.
Yeah,
I was, I was a functional alcoholic for, like, I guess about a good almost 20 years.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was behind the bar, you know, constantly being pickled and,
sure,
you know, a lot of exciting kickball matches that I needed to be at afterwards.
And soccer's a real relaxing sport, so I'm sure you didn't get into any trouble.
Dude, I actually, it's weird. I didn't realize it was destroying me, but I absolutely loved bartending. I love being drunk Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and most Sundays during the NFL season.
Right.
And making a lot of money to do it.
Yeah, me too. I used to live in El Mary's, like,
did you?
In the bar.
Yeah,
at
Tom school. And Mary are wonderful people. Yeah. I used to work with Tom and Mary, actually.
Yeah, that's where I met my wife. I met my wife at Elmer.
Oh, really?
She was the Saturday bartender.
Get out of town.
Well, I mean, you know my wife, Amanda.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Here's my first memory of mothers, right? I was working at the University of Pennsylvania before I moved down here. The soccer coach, this guy, Rudy Fuller, knew I was moving to Baltimore. And he goes, yo, talk to my boy. He owns this restaurant down there. And I got a reference from the soccer coach at the University of Pennsylvania, came down and continued to just be a drunk.
And so wait, what year is that?
Dude, like, it was roughly. Before 9/11.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely before 9/11.
Like 2000 or pre-2000.
Yeah. Yeah. So. All right, yeah. So I roll in Mothers and through the back door the first time. And I just see the absolute most beautiful woman I've seen to that point in my life that now isn't my wife.
Right.
And I was like stunned by it. And it was just Mary. And I don't mean just Mary, but Mary's she's a talented woman, but she's also extremely aesthetically pleasing.
Sure, yeah, 100%.
She is, my God, the spirit on that woman. I would not screw with her. No.
Oh, hell no.
No way. No. No way.
Mary's great.
No, absolutely not. She's lovely. Yeah, and Tom and Bella.
Yeah, awesome. And right, they retired.
So
I mean, not happy
they
retired. Happy for them.
Yes, yeah.
We're in South Africa.
We're in South Africa. We're driving. We had a Winnebago. So there's like 10 guys or 8 guys in a Winnebago. This is a bad plan. And we're driving on the wrong side of the road.
Did you rent a Winnebago in South Africa?
Yeah, my buddy Simon is a logistical genius. He was good at it before Google
the internet
and all that shit.
Right.
So he would get it done. He made it easy to just, he'd be just like, yo, show up, pay me, and just show up and have a good
time.
Wow. And we're driving, and we stopped at this bar, and there's the beach behind it. And this dude runs up, and I guess I've always wanted to be some sort of celebrity or star. And this guy comes and he goes, hey, are you guys here for the World Cup? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, and he goes, you want to be on the BBC? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to be on the BBC. And he goes, wrong accent. He wanted only English people, right? My buddy Simon's English, right? So he goes, they all set up the frame and they're going to talk about it. And I'm fucking pissed that I can't be on.
Because you're a goddamn American.
Against, right. American. Well, I'm watching the television, and as I'm watching the television and getting pissed off, and there must have been SportsCenter on, and Andrew McCutchen from the Pittsburgh Pirates hits a walk-off home run, right, dude? Ends the game. And you know what they do then? They run out and they hit you with the whipped cream.
Right.
They hit him with the whipped cream, and I'm like, fuck yeah. So I ran back to the Winnebago and I got a shaving cream fucking thing and a rag. And all because of Andrew McCutchen hit the fucking home run. I'm standing there. I'm like lurking behind this fucking tree. And as soon as they fucking start talking to my boy, I just fucking smashed him in the face with what would ostensibly a whipped cream pie and run away going, USA, USA. You can see it on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube.
It went like viral.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was viral as 15,000 or something like that. But there were people that were like, fucking, that's assault.
Right.
You know,
you're like, relax.
Yeah. Dude. And so we get back into the car. And I think I was driving the Winnebago at the time. And he's fucking got, he's all wet. He's got shaving cream in his fucking face still. And he's just like, man, you should really try staying up. And that's how it started. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
That is hilarious. Yeah,
I would. And then I came back and I signed up for the contest at Magoobies. And I won the first time I was on stage.
Nice.
And I can't lie to you, I wish I hadn't. I wish I had come in seventh. And it just tried staying up once, like most people should.
Right.
But no, it's dominated my life for the better or for worse for the last, I guess.
And is that years. Because you've been chasing that sweet spot the first night you got it, or it just wasn't as consistent as you dreamt it would be, or you know what I mean?
No, I actually am not leaning into this, but I do have this cognitive issue where I can't remember a lot of shit. So it's tough for me. Like, dude, I'll be in the middle of a decent bit that's hit all the time, and I'll forget like one or two tags.
Right, right.
And it's weird. It's like a little bit of still get nervous energy.
Right.
And sometimes not being able to understand that it's okay not to fill every fucking second.
Sure.
Right.
You know, but even at this accelerated age after and doing it for like 15 years, sometimes I still get caught up in not being able to calm down.
Mm-hmm. I got you. So let me ask you this, not to go back. We're a little bit, we don't have a structure here, Mike. We just kind of go for it.
Yeah.
Back to the head trauma. How serious was that? Like, was that like a couple year recovery type thing? Or was it like.
I guess I was in bed after the Porsche for about 3 months.
Right. I got you.
And then I definitely have gotten kicked in the head once. Fuck you, Ernie. I was kicking your ass. No, right. I was kicking Ernie's ass, and everybody fucking knows it. And then his boy Billy kicked me in the head on Roy Rogers parking lot.
I got to tell you, shout out my boy Kenny. Shout out to Kenny.
Oh, he got kicked.
Kenny got kicked in the head by Rob Steiner. We love both these guys. Nice guys.
Dude, yeah, but you can't, like, I was defenseless. To get, I was beating this dude up, and well, you know, we were ending the fight, and
right.
I had won, and his boy just kicked me right in the head.
Oh, that happened to me. At a party. we lived at Westminster. We went to this party over near Middle River somewhere. Maybe it wasn't Towson, but it was somewhere. It was an apartment, and a fight broke out. We were involved in it. We may not have started it. It was me, Doug, Bowen, Pole.
Okay, so you started. Go.
Yeah, Bowen's up against the wall fighting some guy, and I step across. There's a hall. There's a door to the apartment open. People everywhere. I step into the open, and the dude just jumps out, lunges out, cold cocks me, sucker punch. My knees buckled, rolled down the steps, stood up, and asked what the hell happened.
I remember that.
And Paul's like, you just got knocked the fuck out. And I was like, gather everybody up and let's get out.
That was when they, I mean, I wasn't there, but I remember that story now.
That was a sucker punch.
Yeah.
I was defenseless.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just over time, you've taken a lot of head trauma, and it affects your recall occasionally.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know.
Right now, I mean, I don't even know where I'm at.
Right.
Well, I could be full-blown Joe Biden.
You're in the lounge, baby.
I could be full-blown
Joe
Biden.
You're amongst friends.
So technically, growing up in Philly, you didn't want to be a comedian. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I had no idea.
Nothing?
No fucking clue. Dude.
What did you do? Did you play sports?
Yeah, I played soccer. I was mediocre, okay, at it. I did a little. I got a soccer scholarship, but then I got thrown out of the Holy Family. I got thrown out of there. I lost my soccer scholarship. Then I had to go to.
Do you want
to
just cause or like anything controversial?
It was controversial.
Okay, I got you. If you don't want to go,
it's all right.
Is Holy Family a college?
Yeah, it's a university now. It's a university and. No matter what they want to say, I scored the first goal ever in the history of the men's soccer program. You can't whitewash that, Donald Trump.
Yeah, this is bullshit. Free Mike Quinn.
Right?
For fuck's sake.
Fuck. No, so at the end of the season.
We want the stats.
At the end of the season, they were having the banquet, the athletic banquet, and they were not properly monitoring the amount of alcohol that the underage people were consuming at the old Falcon Pub. Right. Well, here's the deal. The athletic director's brother owned the restaurant bar, right? They gave us these shitty little plaques. They were breaking my balls. After the event, I fucking went outside and threw the fucking plaque on the roof of the bar, right? 4 weeks later, I get called into the athletic director's office with this guy, Joe DeSalvo, the coach, and you're like, yeah, we're taking away your athletic scholarship. And I'm like, well, I mean, I wasn't that bad this year. And by the way, I scored the fucking first goal ever. And you're like, no, they were redoing the roof of the old Falcon Pub or whatever the fuck it was called at the time. And they found this. They found the plaque on top of the roof. Thought that I was ungrateful and then took my scholarship.
That's
away
wild.
From
that's
me.
Damn.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I feel like a little hardcore.
Taking away my First Amendment right.
Right.
Right. Right. I should have 8 years of eligibility left if anybody went to sign me to an NIL deal. Right.
Wouldn't that be wild? Free Mike Quinlan?
That's exactly
it. Yeah, so, okay, so you come back from South Africa, you go to Magoobies, you rock and roll the first night. It's a hit.
I don't know
park.
If it's rock and rolled. I don't really remember much about it. I do remember, I think, scooting my ass across the fucking stage. I think I used that.
I got you.
Okay. I'm sure my buddy Simon, he might have a video. Hopefully nobody has a video. I don't know. I just think
did you have an organized set at that point?
Yeah. Wow. As organized as I thought it was going to be. Mm. I'm sure it was mostly stories and not very many punchlines. But then again, I don't really tell many punchline jokes anyway now. I don't really. It's been like 15 years, but it was. Yeah, it was cool.
It was considerably not till later in life. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't think I figured that you were a lifer.
It feels like it.
Yeah, well, that's good.
No,
shit.
I'm not. No, I'm about 15 years in. Like I started this shit show probably not long after doing comedy because a friend of mine, Craig Borman, who used to own half the auto bar. We lived together for a while, blah, 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 blah. He asked me to start a show so we could he could get some content in upstairs at the auto bar. And me and Kim Ambrose and Dennis Petrov, who I believe, what the fuck's Dennis's name now? Dennis, somebody shot somebody. Anyway, Dennis Petrov changed his name. Hey, who shot John Lennon? Chapman. Dennis Chapman.
Mark David Chapman.
Chapman is now. We started this shit show, the three of us, and then Dennis moved to L.A., and Kimberly just ended up doing her own thing and all that stuff.
Nice, and you've kept it running.
Yeah, because I'm afraid if I stop it, I'll just quit comedy. So it's one of those like Pavlovian things.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And it's still every month.
Oh, fucking sure is.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I don't understand how Ryan Nazer does it in Frederick at the Cellar Door. It's 52 weeks a year, and he packs the joint.
Right.
52 weeks a year.
Well, Frederick,
I have 12, and I can't necessarily say I pack it.
Well, Frederick has an interesting scene.
Oh, man. And he's got a great, the Tuesday fucking open mic's bonkers good.
See, isn't that funny? Tuesday nights.
Yeah, but Frederick's a little different.
Right.
I mean, you could kind of... it's different.
Yeah, it's like set up so you can...
And it's hit or miss. I mean, Tuesday's Tuesday.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, but dude, that open mic, there's always...
Where is it in Frederick?
At the Cellar Door.
The Cellar Door.
Yeah, that's where Ryan runs the show on Sunday and then the open mic on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start like actually feeling confident about comedy? Like even if you don't now, you're probably going to be like, I still don't.
No, I can't lie to you. I don't. I saw a comic. I was out with Bill Monahan, and who's fucking on fire right now.
Yeah.
Bill, you know what's funny? I saw Shane Gillis. Doing the show at CFG, and I was like, fuck, Monahan should open for him. Because Bill was to the point where I think he would fucking crush in that space. And I, as jealous as his friend, I'd really like to see it. I had Shane Gillis up at Five and Dime in Hamden once. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the poster, but I'm pretty sure Bill was probably on that show too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Monahan would be great opening up for him.
Nice. I feel like I know that name, but
Shane Gillis?
No, Bill Monahan.
You don't know Bill Monahan?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I do.
You should check him out, dude. He's a monster, dude.
He's a local guy.
Yeah, he's just writing is so tight. He's actually on a show with Justin and Bussy, I believe it's September 19th down at
the Morseburgers.
Yeah.
Bussy, they're like Dylan. They're going electric. Like
they are indeed.
Yeah, you know they're recording that album here.
They got a full album.
Outstanding. It's their first time plugged in. Yeah. I think for a live audience.
So yeah, that's gonna be cool. I'm gonna try and get to that one.
Jenny is a dynamite lady. The lady who runs Morseburgers and the Little Market Cafe where I used to do the outside show in Ellicott City.
Cool.
She's a dynamite. Dynamite gal, always trying to do push the art, and it's really cool to work with people like her.
So, Mike, awesome. One of the reasons I wanted to get you in here, other than comedy, is that I've noticed that you're rather philanthropic, as much as you can be, in the sense of you kind of help Chris Schaefer a lot with Sharp Dressed Man, you do Meals on Wheels, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And what's the driver there, other than just you're a good person?
How did you get started? I mean, you've known Chris for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known Chris for it's probably about 20 years now.
Oh, so you knew him back, did you know him back in the Our House days?
I've known him because I used to work at the City Paper. I was in the basement of the City Paper on 9/11. Because Tuesday was the day before we went there, or the day we went to press, we went on the street on Wednesdays. So I'm sure I've known Chris since then.
What did you write for?
I was a sales guy.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I was a sales guy. So I was literally in the basement watching, and I remember thinking, oh, because I was a history guy, I thought, oh shit, it must be like the plane that flew into the side of the Empire State Building, I think it was. I didn't think there was anything nefarious at the time.
Right.
No. But
you and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Until the next one.
But I was sitting downstairs, I think with Andy Horowitz was his name? Andy Markowitz, who was the editor. And we watched the second tower fly into the second tower.
Mm-hmm. Wild, man.
Well, I didn't expect to talk about 9/11. Gotta be back from the City Paper days. Because Chris is just, fuck that City Paper Best of Baltimore party.
Yep.
I'm sure Chris was fashionably all over that. Right. I'm sure he must have won a bunch of City Paper Best of Awards.
He was around, he probably did, because he's a class act.
Yeah, so absolutely. Then knowing Chris and then moving into, because that was before he had Christopher Schaefer, because that's only 15 years old.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's
so you've been kind of with him in that space the beginning.
I would think so. I haven't really started working with him significantly. Like, he was my client for, I guess, City Paper and maybe WTMD. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I retired from WTMD and I...
WTMD or the City Paper?
No, I retired.
Retired from WTMD?
I retired from WTMD when I was 50.
What were you at WTMD?
I was a sales guy there too.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I retired from there. And that's where I knew Chris from that way. Excuse me.
Sure.
And then I was looking for shit to do because I was losing my mind.
Right.
And I was like, yo, you got any work that needs to be done down there? Here's the deal, though. I'm not a style guy. So I go down and I move the stock between the trucks. And like today I went out and you saw me. I mean, that's not really hard. Like, because we put everything on the racks and stuff. But on Wednesdays, guys will come in or anybody will come in from 12 to 2 and you'll get a tailor who will measure you out and get you looking good. Go find something, hopefully, that fits on the rack. If you're a small person and you want to donate suits, we'd love to get smaller suits.
Yeah.
Because that smaller guys are hard to fit. So small.
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk more about that. I mean, I'm people don't know, you can just donate suits.
Yeah, for those listening, we're talking about Christopher Schaefer.
Going back into Sharp Dressed Man.
One of the episodes, a while ago, we had for those listening, go watch the Christopher Schaefer episode to know who we're talking about, because he's an important dude.
He's a local haberdashery guy. He's got so much style. He's 15 years. He's in October, I believe, right?
I think it's going to
be there. I'll be there for that.
Yeah, we'll be there.
So I just, went down. Like I said, I went 250 West Dickman Street. You can come in from 12 to 2 any Wednesday and... excuse me, and you can come in, you can get a suit and you can get a haircut and just put your name on the list.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
That's where we shot the music video for Needles in Your Face at where he
I couldn't get down there for
and
that.
We were sitting in the barber's chairs
so
it's awesome. I mean, there's suits everywhere, ties, bow ties. It's a great organization.
And outside there is a shed. So if nobody's there, and most times nobody's there, right? There's a shed, and you just put your stuff in, and you grab your tax paperwork, and you leave a note, and we're very thankful. Some lady sent something in. She went out of the way to send in something from Arizona today. And I was like, and I was talking to Chris. I was like, I have to write this lady a note. I was like, that's very thoughtful. These clothes meant something, and for us, it means something to us. To get them to other people, one, to recycle them, but two, to potentially, if you feel better and somebody's kind and nice to you, maybe you're going to push it forward. Maybe you're going to take that positive energy and get yourself a second chance at a job. Maybe you're just going to just be a good human being when maybe you really haven't been before.
And from Arizona, I mean, that's an interesting sense.
Yeah,
you know,
Sedona.
It's like there might be a story
there.
Yeah,
I'm curious to know where she found out about it, too.
Right.
It's weird. Excuse me, gentlemen. Sorry about that. There was no note to it, but I put it aside, and I'm probably going to go to because I got to go do something tomorrow. I'll probably stop by there and just see if there was a note, but I didn't think there was.
Right.
But it was cool. And Chris was like, it happens all the time. People That's from wild. All over. Yeah, because the weird part is it costs $30 to send this thing. So these clothes... to spend $30 to send it from Arizona. There's something there.
Yeah, right.
And this person...
they didn't want to just throw it away or donate it to the Goodwill or something.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a space for the Goodwill. There's no doubt about it.
Sure.
Who were also one of my clients at WTMD. Yeah, there's definitely...
You're a renaissance man.
Not really. Not really. I was a sales drone. As a matter of fact, though, I pitched an idea to WYPR yesterday, a content idea to Craig. Complete ripoff of the Tiny Desk concerts, right? Complete, you know those?
Yeah.
Tiny Stool. Do the same thing, have people coming through the through town or local talent, and we do tiny little 15-person things at lunch or something, maybe up at YPR or whatnot. I'm waiting to hear back from him.
Nice. Yeah.
Great swaggler.
I shopped the idea to a few people with thoughtful connections to the station, and they liked it. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, we sponsor their event calendar.
Yeah, so I know you do. Yeah, that's why I dropped the name on that.
I've been a fan and a supporter for 22 years.
Dude, I don't listen. I listen to two stations, TMD and YPR.
I agree.
I worked for Andy Grimshaw, who no longer works there. He works for WCBM. I loved working there for him. Where I came back from, I moved back from somewhere. I think I moved back from England and I needed a job or something or other happened.
What'd you do in England? Sales?
No, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. That was the problem. I actually had a trial with Sloughtown United. I lied my way into it. It was back before the internet.
That's so funny. It is far,
it's the forest gulf. I can tell.
I lied my way into it.
Bounces around.
I don't know. I guess.
Just puts himself into situations. I love it. It's my favorite.
Yeah, my wife called. She's like, you're like the Walter Mitty of misery.
The Walter Mitty of misery?
Yeah. Dude, seriously, Monday I'm doing Meals on Wheels, right? And there's this old gal, and they're trying to get her into like an old Voyager, right? Beat up.
Is this
thing.
The feel-up story?
Yeah. And the home health care aide is there with her, and her daughter's there with her, and she's being obstinate. She doesn't want to go in, right? She doesn't, and she's got
never heard that word before.
She's got the oxygen in her, right? And she's like, I'm like, hey, hon. can I help? You know, because, dude, I'm that. I am such a fucking Karen. I'm such a Karen. Block Karen. I got elected behind my block, behind my back. I was elected block Karen. Fucker. So I'm just that guy, right? I'm just that guy. And I'm like, and they're like, as soon as I said, can I help? Her daughter in the home health area go, no. No, she's got to do it herself. And I think it's because they need her to obviously flex the muscles and do sure. the mobility. And then I go in, I get my Meals on Wheels stuff. I'm coming back. And I was like, can I just please help her? And they're like, go ahead, but she's going to grope you. And I didn't understand what she was talking about, right? And I get up and I help her in, and don't you know, oh yeah, she got the hog. She went right for it. And then I got startled, like, and then they laughed right in my face.
Right. Like, we told you.
They're
like, look at
it. And then, dude, she looks at me and she goes, are we related? And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah, I just got in the car and did the rest of Meals on Wheels.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Meals on Wheels is great, dude.
How long have you been doing that?
I'm guessing probably maybe a year, maybe not a year yet. Yeah. I pick it up in Hamden at one of the old age homes there on Falls Road. It's funny. They have like four old age homes, and four old age homes, and they all look down onto the cemetery. And I think that's pretty funny.
It's just staring at the future.
Yeah, right? Hey, right. We're all dying, right?
Sure. So let me ask you this, Mike. In your comedy run or career, if you will.
Yes.
Give me, like, where's the furthest you've traveled to do it? Have you traveled, or has it been mostly local?
I've done some in England. I've done some in England. I think I did some in Japan. Yeah, on my honeymoon. I'm sure my wife was happy about it.
I was going to say, that had to go well.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah. You know, it's weird. I'm going to Portugal, and I'm going to see what's going on over there. There's a couple. I need to get back to London to see some soccer. And I'll obviously try to do some stuff over there. There's a club called the Bill Murray, and I think there's a club called Angel.
In Portugal?
No, that's in London. I haven't been able to find anything in Portugal right now. I'm going to Groton Long Point in Connecticut next week, which is by Mystic, and I'm trying to find something to do up there. And I reached out to a few people on a Facebook group in one of the casinos, but I haven't heard back yet. I mean, I can't blame anybody. It's kind of
right because it's
kind of,
it's like a whole other thing, you know. I mean,
I'm just looking for a mic to run into to get away from my family for one night,
right? But, in a foreign land.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are clubs all over the world, though. There's definitely English comedy clubs.
How the hell's doing stand up in Japan?
I think it was okay. Like I told you, I can't really remember. No, it was okay. It was fun. It was a unique experience. I wanted to do that just to see what it was like. I wasn't really expecting to get a standing ovation.
I just don't know if, like, I guess they're good crowds over there.
Well, it depends. You got a lot of English people, a lot of people over there that are that speak English as a second or maybe a first language.
Right.
So they're interested in seeing what's going on. I mean, dude, I would love to go. I think I would go to a comedy club, like if I was in Buenos Aires again or something like that, and there was a Spanish comedy club, I think I would be willing to invest my night into going to see what that was like, even though I knew nothing about what they were saying.
Right.
Just to see the vibe.
Just to feel
in the
vibes. Sure.
Yeah. So
I don't know
if there was any of those people in the club in Japan, but yeah, it was a good time. Anytime. It's nerve-wracking, right? I mean, why do you do it?
I mean, guarantee it's nerve-wracking, especially in another.
You do it for the rush. Right. You know, I mean, when it goes well, it's, you know, it's better than sex. It's different from sex, right? It's completely, it's just this wild intenseness that when it goes well.
I guess for
some of us where it doesn't really happen that often all the time consistently, maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, so Nat, give me a couple people. Like, have you toured with anyone big time? Or like, have
absolutely not. I've toured with Bill Monahan. We went to Maine and Rhode Island just recently.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bill Monahan.
Yeah. And we sold so many tickets for the Saturday show that we just canceled it and came home. But
nice.
No, but we did. We had a good time up there. There's a great little comedy club in Auburn, Maine. Matt Dundas hooked us up. I believe it's Great Falls Comedy Club. Really, it was a good time. And then the Thursday, I saw these guys, the Death Kitty Dojo, on their Instagram.
Death Kitty Dojo.
Yeah, and we were in a dojo, and the gent was Doug from, I believe, the comedy club. Fuck, I actually did the notes on this. We went up there. We walk into the dojo. There's no stools, and fucking Monahan's like, what the fuck did you? He's like, he wasn't happy, right? He was like, fucking, there's no stools. We got to take our shoes off.
What?
Turned out to be a great fucking show. Bill crushed it at the end. Yeah, it was in Providence, Rhode Island.
I'll say this is up northeast.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was a great fucking show.
Yeah, nice.
I feel like that's how comedy kind of is. You can just kind of bounce around and probably find some place easier than like a band can just roll up and be like, hey, can we just like play?
Well, right. Yeah, band is, but you're like, you got to set equipment right up, and you know.
Comedy, that's what I'm saying. Comedy, you can find places easier to just, if you're on vacation, you can just find the club and show up and be like.
I actually am surprised that anybody comes to see club comedy, if you want my honest opinion. Like I'm going to say lower end stuff, but the smaller clubs, just because it's tough to get the marketing message out to people, but it's also like, let's be honest, some of the shows you go to, you know, the talent's not exactly ready for
right, because time. You are in the open mic circuit.
But if you appreciate that and you want to see people develop, I mean, but look, that also, though, you got people like Violet Gray, who's just, every time Violet jumps on stage, you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Or like Rose Vineshank, who's going to be headlining the next second Saturday shit show.
Nice.
I mean, you just watch Rose jump on stage and you're like, man, fuck.
Right, you can just feel the energy.
The talent, the energy, the je ne sais quoi.
I mean, Justin Schlegel's Chaos Theory is one of the funniest stand-ups I've seen in a long time.
It was hilarious.
No, I was there when he taped it.
Yeah, it's so fucking funny. We went to the premiere.
Yeah, we went to the...
Yeah, I was there too.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. No, I think I was there with Monahan, actually. Yeah, no, Justin crushed it that night down in Annapolis.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. So what about openers? Like, have you ever opened for anyone relevant?
Right. Yeah, it's funny. Last week I tried to open for Doug Stanhope.
Right.
He wasn't.
Yeah, we had a message for you.
Right. We wanted to get you a message.
We were all over that one.
Look, it's so funny.
I told him. No, I asked him.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Okay.
He was like, I don't know if I'll see him.
Yeah. No. Here's the deal.
He's friends with Michael Biehn.
The last time Stanhope was in town, I was lucky enough. Andrew hooked me up and let me open for him. And my wife was in the third deck. It sold out, but they stuck my wife with other people she didn't know in a third deck. And I did I think it was probably my favorite time I've ever been on stage. And after, you know, I go back, bring Doug up, and he gave me a nice compliment. But the people that my wife was sitting with were like, man, that fucking guy was really funny.
Not knowing she was.
Not knowing it was my wife. So that is my favorite compliment.
That's awesome.
Favorite show, because my wife is my favorite person.
That's
awesome.
If
I talk anymore about it, I'll cry because I'm a gigantic fucking pussy.
Right.
No,
I said, look, I love that shit. We're about emotion here at Sanity.
No, that's my favorite. But I've also, Alabama down at the Comedy Factory back in the day hooked me up with JB Smoove.
Nice.
That was fucking great.
And Rich Voss, I saw.
Yeah,
right?
Voss. He was nice. And John Witherspoon.
That's
before
awesome.
He passed.
That's
John Witherspoon awesome. Dude, anytime Alabama down at the Comedy Factory is a beautiful dude. Mm-hmm. And he's hysterical. I just can't afford to pay him to get on any shows. Like he's making his money as nut down there. And on a Saturday weekend, I can't be like, hey, you want to come to Alabar for $100? You know,
it doesn't work. Sure.
But he's such a fucking great comic that every fucking hysterical man. And yeah, he hooked me up with two of these great opportunities, and I fucking love it. But as far as those were great because those guys were awesome to be with and work with, but because of the compliment, with Doug Stanhope.
Yeah, that's
Stanhope. Yeah, that's great.
Dude,
yeah.
Stanhope, were you guys were there last week?
No.
Dude, he came out, because he I forget, there's a term for it, where the headliner comes out. You would think after 15 years I would know that. But I also don't know how to bring a dongle to the auto bar. So anyway, he comes out, he comes out 15 minutes hot, and I'm like, fuck, man. Maybe I'm glad I didn't get this hosting
right, job. Right.
I think I would have been fine, because I would have been really excited. Yeah, I have some good material that I'm excited to display to people nowadays. But nice. Yeah, but he was great. He was awesome. Had a great time.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Doug Stanhope is a great comic.
Yeah, it's magnificent.
And we at Sanity Lounge here are a bit of cinephiles. We love movies here and shit like that. So Ware Davis and I always loved Michael Biehn from Aliens, yeah. Terminator, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he has a podcast nowadays, Michael Biehn. Now, he's had a stroke recently, so it's a little bit like you got to stick with him.
I mean, the latest,
little bit.
One of Doug Stanhope's latest Instagram videos is him and Michael Biehn, like talking, introducing the podcast.
And yeah, because Stanhope was his first guest. And so, listening to this podcast, Michael Biehn's like, you know, and I got this guy, this comedian, and he and I become really good friends. His name's Doug Stanhope, and this isn't that. And like the theme song to Michael Biehn's show is Bingo, Stanhope's wife.
Oh, dude.
She sang the song. She's the theme song for Michael Biehn's show. Or
when I first started, that's really wild.
Isn't that wild?
So then
when you said that you were, you know, you may go throw a haymaker, we were like, well, look, if you get the ear of Stanhope, mention to him, we would kill to talk to him on Sanity Lounge, Stanhope and or Michael Biehn film, you know, through Zoom interview.
Dude, you know what's funny?
No Zooms. Not an option.
No.
He's West Coast.
When I hosted for him, he's like, in the green room, I was like, all right, I'll see you later. He's like, you don't want to hang out? I'm like, you don't want to fucking hang out with me, dude. Yeah. How many fucking losers do you know? And I don't mean that pejoratively. I meant that about myself. Like, he doesn't, hey, this is great. I'm an old guy. I just got started. You know, he didn't need that, dude.
Right.
So, like, his compliment was more than enough.
So you
for
said
me.
No.
Yeah, I just bounced and fucking went out and just fucked around. He didn't want to.
That's hilarious. And you don't want to hang with me. See you later.
I can't, like, it's weird. A lot of it's like the worst part about comedy is the comics. It's everybody's awkward all the time. And like you can tell when people are forcing it. And after all these years, it's just like, man, come on.
It's tough. Like, it takes balls to get up and do it for the first time.
Hell yeah. Especially with, like, just to do it in general, but then to have to do it with the pressure of a ringer being around you. It's got to be tough. I mean,
yeah. No, it's something, honestly, it's something everybody should try at least once. It just, they should. Like, you're a public speaking course or whatever, if you go to college anymore, I'm sure, in like English 101, there should be a forced narrative of at least 3 to 5 minutes to see. I couldn't see how it would hurt. I mean, fuck, I guess you could fake it on ChatGPT now, right?
You feel like it could open up the comedy world?
I guess you could. Yeah, I mean, you could make material on ChatGPT.
Of course you could. I'm producing this podcast on the AI Risk Network called Last Laugh, where we bring three comics in, and John, the host, talks about the possibility of the destruction of AI. The golfer Shane Lowry is? Shane Lowry is Irish. Well, somebody did a deep fake of him lighting up the English for the famine and then turning it into a golf thing. And morons would see this because it's so authentic. And somebody could get so incensed that they could hurt somebody that particular day.
It's a real problem.
What fucking good is it, dude?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean
I hate it when it's used for artistic bullshit. I mean, like ChatGPT, I use it to figure out how to do things. I ask it how do I slice up a model in Blender so I can print it, and it tells me step by step.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, dude, here's the deal.
AI art. Oh, God.
Well, there's certain things. Like, for example, for the pitch for the Tiny Stool Show, Craig.
Nice.
I went to one of the AI platforms and had to make a logo. I was like Baltimore based Tiny Stool,
right?
So I could throw that in there, right? Type thing. I mean, obviously, he's going to know that that's what it was, but. For that kind of stuff, I think using art or, dude, some of the secondary posting that I need to do for marketing for shows, if you can't appreciate that I'm using this bullshit art, I mean, I can't pay $100,000.
Yeah, right. No, it's all budget related. I'm just talking about art. Like TMD, as an example, they had a contest for a new shirt a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And you got the vote on it, and people submitted at least two of the designs were just AI.
Right. Like
somebody just put them up there. They were too weirdly specific, and it drove me crazy. I did not vote for those, but people were voting for them. Like, it was just too, one was a drum set with Edgar Allan Poe with ravens, like, sitting on the cymbal. But everything was, like, perfect.
Right.
And, like, somebody didn't sit down and draw that. It was too random and too specific at the same time.
See, that's what I understand.
If that even fucking makes sense.
It does. But I get what you're saying.
It's funny. I guess my wife's like, you have to pay for the real AI, because I'll put stuff in and try to make some things, and everything's spelt wrong.
Right.
Well, no, this is
the thing. Even mind it for getting ideas, like some design ideas, and then you take them and make them or sculpt them. But just like image art, where you're like, look at what I created, check it out. Like, but you didn't fucking create it. Like,
well,
typing in words, and I understand the budget. It's not going anywhere because it is cheaper to use it.
And the bottom of the truth is
and I'm not totally against it for those reasons.
Is like every other. Like great invention or anything like that, it's insidious and there's a devil in the background, and we're all right now rationalizing drug abusers, and we can't, because it does have positives to it. And like, even me, like, I'm sitting there, or you, like, we're all like, it's fucking, we've seen Terminator, we know where this goes. Yeah, but everybody's like, yeah, but I'll just use it for this. And I just use it for this, this, and that. And it might be that we're all rationalizing drug abusers, abusing ourselves into irrelevance. Now, it might not be. It might be that this thing will continue to grow with us and not become sentient or anything.
I don't
wild.
Think it ever will, because it's stupid.
Yeah, I think that's a naive thought, but I don't know shit. You know,
But I thought it has to learn. It learns off of stuff, right? But what if somebody keeps feeding it bullshit?
Well, that's just
exactly.
It.
It's going to start learning. Right. It's eventually going to feed in and not know what's real or what's not.
It's already hallucinating.
Yeah.
The AIs are hallucinating right now. So they're right a lot, but sometimes they're way wrong.
They were talking about it, like ChatGPT. Like, you ask it to write a screenplay for a Western. It just goes out and looks at all the Western screenplays that have ever been made really fast and puts one together for you based on that. If there was never a Western created and there was no content for it to research, it wouldn't create anything.
Yes, but we've talked about this before. Emergence is something that we don't understand.
But goddamn.
So what makes emergence? Is it information?
Bullshit's getting fed into it, and it's going to start mixing in.
But this is the thing, is enough information, emergence may happen.
Yeah.
Like, enough information. Like, right now, they just said Tristan Harris, who is the guy who blew the whistle, if you will, about the social media problems, Tristan Harris, just said that they had an AI that was trying to not allow them to unplug it from the internet.
Yeah.
Like, it actively wanted to not be turned off.
Well, how did it know it was going to be turned off?
Right. No idea. Ask
and
Tristan.
How did it stop them but look from into pulling that. The power cord?
It's not about that. No. It's something more.
It was just trying to convince them
like,
not to
Yeah,
do
like
it.
They were like, they wanted to shut it down.
Yeah, but and were they whispering behind its back?
Right.
I don't know.
Was this a test?
Motherfucker.
Tristan Harris, look into it. He's an academic, but I'm telling you, it's you know,
it doesn't scare me though. I guess it.
That's what I mean.
It annoys me more. Like, but I don't think there's anything. It's just
going to be used for.
I can tell.
It's going to be used by idiots to hurt people.
Yeah.
It's like that Pikesville principal last year. I think it was a Pikesville principal. He got fired because they had him on video saying racial stuff. And
was it a deep fake?
It was a fake. Yeah. He got fired. And he went home. It was a huge news story. And they went to court.
What if he fucking killed himself?
Can you imagine that? He had kids in the school and they went to court about it. And they proved it's a deep fake.
Yeah, you can definitely prove that. But you got to go through it and hope nothing happens. This all hits close to home. I mean, Brian thought that Steven Tyler was serenading Robert Plant in the hospital room not too long.
You can't let it go. Listen, this prick... Even on a drive, it's like you want to believe, you know? Yeah. That's the thing. It's insidious. Yeah. I mean, and we're all culpable. And I don't know. I understand if we don't do it, they are. I get that. But I don't know if that's the best philosophy.
But going back to like what, with it's comedy, with music, I mean, there's bands that you don't even know if bands are real.
Right. Well, that's my other problem is they've already had some Spotify band that was AI went viral. Yeah. And it's just because jackasses are like, hey, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're really into it. You know what I'm saying? And if they are, and if it self-corrects, look, you know, it might be fine.
Yeah.
I agree. It's going to hurt people.
Yeah.
Can we use AI to get U2 to stop making music? Is that possible?
U2?
Yeah. I used to love U2. I just wish they would stop.
I got
to
tell you, I don't think I've heard any.
I think I'm 100% on the same page as you as far as that. I used to like them. Not love them, but no, I wish they would stop.
Fuck, I've seen
it. But I feel that way about the Rolling Stones.
I was never... shut your whore mouth.
I don't like new Rolling Stones.
I don't like new Rolling Stones. Yeah, but like, I don't wish them...
Mick Jagger singing... I can't with these guys singing about women, but they're like 88 years old.
Well, in his defense, he just became a father at 74. No,
that is true. And Al Pacino and Robert De Niro and Al Pacino are still having fucking babies.
Dude, here's the deal. That's so fucking selfish because all of the information suggests that autism is linked to a father's age. Mm. So, that's great. You fucking sang Jumpin' Jack Flash, you but your kid, you know, that's not cool.
Yeah,
right?
Man, yeah.
That's like, do you really need to have a kid at 74?
Exactly. Right. Well, how old's Mick Jagger's wife?
Dick.
20?
She's
seven?
Not. Well, no, I don't know, but she's not his
age. She's
in
her 30s.
Yeah, she's got to be young. I mean.
Have you ever seen the dude who owns the fucking LA Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders?
Like the
owner?
The Davis guy?
No, it's not.
Oh, the Davises aren't even.
Who the fuck are you? Dude, he sold the team like 3 decades ago.
No, his son.
Al Davis?
No, he died and then his son took over who looked just like him.
No, you got to see the new dude. Check him out.
Las Vegas Raiders owner?
Las Vegas Raiders owner. He looks like a thumb. He looks. He looks like a weeble wobble that's a thumb. His gal, he's got to be in his 70s, and his gal's like 22. Like, do they have a deal where it's artificial insemination, or are these
people? Yeah, dude, that's Mark Davis. That's Al Davis's son.
That's Al Davis's son?
Yes. That is Mark Davis. Yes, but I agree. He looks like a thumb with a little hair on it.
Right? Thumb.
Yeah. Yeah, Liz.
Oh, yeah, look at that one.
Right? Like, is that a toupee? Can you imagine actually?
No, it's not a toupee. It's the way that man goes and tells them to cut his hair. Wow.
But here's my answer to that.
It's like Green Lantern.
I feel the same way about Stephen Miller. Like, does.
As
is
in
another
Stephen
human,
Miller, the.
Yeah, Stephen Miller, the Nazi. Yeah, the guy. Stephen Miller puts Nazi in Ashkenazi. That's what Stephen Miller does.
Gotcha. Okay, so go.
Yeah, no, but like. Another human being allows Stephen Miller to leave his bodily fluids inside them. That to me is weird, dude. Like, why would you, like, it's in. I don't know.
So, Mike, you're a passionate guy.
His girlfriend's 25.
Right? And how old is he?
Wow.
Oh. I mean, it doesn't even matter how old he is.
25,
look at his face.
And he looks like that. You know, they have so much in common.
Yeah, how old is he?
Yeah. been up?
I don't know.
Can you imagine that?
No, I can't imagine any of it. Like, who's, like, Belichick? Or I just watched the Billy Joel documentary. What a dickhead.
And Mark Davis is 69.
So yeah, no, Billy Joel, here's the deal. I just dug into his catalog again and been listening to it. My God, he might be one of the best pop songwriters of all time.
Sure.
Complete douchebag.
Right.
Yeah, have you seen the documentary?
I saw
no,
it.
I
and my wife
stole that
it.
Guy's wife.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then got him work 30 years later. I'm like, dude, how fucking desperate are you to be famous?
They were interviewing, they're interviewing like...
Was this pre or post Christy Brinkley?
Pre.
Dude, the lady that he stole from the other guy, she was his first manager after he got dicked over by all those other people.
Right.
Oh, she was brilliant.
And she still... was beautiful. Yeah, she went to bat for him even after they were divorced. Dude, they did business together for many years.
Yeah, like, yeah. She was brilliant, and she was also very aesthetically pleasing, like Christy Brinkley, obviously.
Yeah, but that was wild. That guy was interviewing the whole time, and then as they went through...
He seemed happy.
As they went through that story, they're like... They said his name, and then it goes back to the guy, and you're like, holy shit, this is the fucking guy. He's like, we made up 30 years later.
Dude, I fucked that, dude. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, piano man, wrap a fucking piano cord around his throat. What, my fucking wife?
Well, let me tell you.
That's wild.
I can be bought if I had $1 million.
That's like I just
I'd be
read,
like, give me $1 million. What's up?
To do what? Anything?
Just, I'll make it go away.
To have your wife?
No, but the ex, if she already left him, it's been 30 years, and he wants to come back to me, I'll get a cool bill from him.
Everybody seemed gracious enough to be in the documentary, but he just came across as a complete douchebag.
Right.
Yeah,
Aunt Barb banged him twice.
Really?
Yeah. He was at the house on Glendale Street twice. Yeah, at least twice.
Yep. My Aunt Barb banged him good twice. Old Aunt Barb. That's my favorite thing you've said all night. Yeah. That's wonderful.
My Aunt Barb banged him twice.
Yeah, I remember him being at the house twice.
So, okay, really? So I...
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Meals on Wheels, Chris Schaefer, you're a philanthropic dude. Now, I can't help but notice, Mike.
What's that?
And I hate to ask, but I have to ask because you're here. But you've
this is an open challenge, right?
Yeah.
You've got a shirt on that says what?
It says that I'm challenging Donald Trump Jr. to be involved in the card for the UFC fight that's going to happen on the White House lawn. And I am donating 100% of my ass whipping proceeds to, as a matter of fact, go to ChatGPT right now and ask it who would win, me or fucking Donald Trump Jr. I've done it. It fucking says I will.
No.
It's fucking right it does. And everybody that knows me says I'll win. I put it something out there and some people on that team. I'm team justice. I need to donate money to Sharp Dressed Man and there's no affiliation. Even though you know what I'm saying?
Right. It's not like,
no, I'm just,
this isn't sanctioned. Your personal.
But if you're going to fight on the White House lawn, it's going to cost millions and millions of dollars of wasted taxpayer money. Let me try to get some money for Sharp Dressed Man or any other charity in Baltimore that might need it if the proceeds are large enough.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So is this like, are you a fighter in general or?
You mean in life?
Like, do you know, like what happens if Trump Jr.'s like, dude, I'm a blue belt in jiu-jitsu?
Not going to happen. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. My instincts always is to win.
ChatGPT wrote me out a whole scenario, like round by round. With you as the fucking winner by unanimous decision.
Right?
Well, there's no way that.
And the crowd chants for the people, for the people. That's how this ends.
You want to do something crazy about ChatGPT?
Quinlan, fueled by civic duty and a double groove brewery pint. Holy shit.
Right? This is incredible.
I fucking told you. Dude, you want to do something crazy with ChatGPT?
Do you know what your finisher is?
No.
The people's elbow drop of accountability.
Nice.
That is incredible.
Yeah, right?
See, right now, we're being seduced by ChatGPT.
Oh, I almost just passed out.
I know. That was wonderful.
You really passed out? Ask it to write your advanced bio, your advanced obit. Ask it.
I can't.
Dude, I tell you what, made me sound a lot better than I am. Dude, I don't know. Maybe this is the deal. I was drunk for so long, and I'm concerned that over the years that I wasn't always the best drunk. And I don't know if maybe that's not part of why I do the charity. I can tell you this right now. I really enjoy it. Doing the Meals on Wheels is just really – it's so weird. You can make somebody's day by three – 10, 15 seconds of eye contact, legitimate concern for how they're doing. And I know that sounds Pollyannish, but it's not.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, yeah, we're all about that. It's really cool. It really is neat. Sharp dressed man, dude, you hook people up. Dude, you're giving them clothes, right? You're keeping them out of, dude, the clothes are like world class.
They're so legit. I know.
Chris, it's nuts. We were at the event we were at today. The sweaters were cashmere, 100% cashmere sweaters. Some of the shoes that'll come through, like $3,000 pairs of shoes, because a lot of times the clothing's donated by people who are either at the end of their professional career or unfortunately their loved one had passed.
Sure.
So there's a lot of quality there.
And
so,
donated from all over the world. Like you said, somebody from Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona. I'm guessing most is the DMV, if you want to just opinion. Some of those thoughtful people, so that's that in of itself's also gratifying. That's a different type of challenge. But it's cool because I don't know, man. What happens if somebody who didn't get a second chance gets a suit on, goes in and makes an impression, mm-hmm. and shows that they care and that they, you know, potentially want to do something better with their lives?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we love that. So how long have you been sober?
Oh, I'm not sober. Who the fuck said I was sober?
Okay. For a second, I thought you were saying that.
Smoking weed in your parking lot.
But drinking wise.
Oh, no. Here's the deal. Thankfully, I kind of outgrew it. Like, I'll go.
Because that's what I'm saying. Like, you were like, I was a functioning alcoholic. Oh, yeah, so we were saying was. I thought that maybe you, officially had quit.
I'll probably.
You said I'm still a functioning.
No, well, I guess.
Did it go away? Sort of. But did it slow down when you stopped bartending? Because that's in our experiences, that's how it works.
Right. Yeah. It seems like.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. But after Mother's, I worked at Smallmore's.
Right.
Yeah, I would guess this. I'll probably get drunk five times this year. Something like that. So
that's not.
But yeah. not like.
But like do, is, are you saying drunk or blackout?
Yeah, dude, what are you, my fucking mom?
No, because I mean,
take it easy.
That's a good question.
I don't know how many times.
I don't get drunk many times a year.
Not anymore.
But I definitely drink. I don't drink that often anymore.
Yeah, my problem was I blacked out every single time I drank.
Ryan's 48 years old, and he quit drinking when he was 19.
Yeah. If, good for you.
He had a problem.
Well, dude.
And I was around for that one.
The reality is that most people, what is it, 99% of most people suck at drinking?
Yeah.
How it's legal is nuts. How every fucking car doesn't have a breathalyzer on it.
That would be the solution.
My old man got busted twice in the same day in Philadelphia. I used to have to drop him off at jail on Fridays. I think it was off a street road up there. No, somewhere in Philadelphia. Yeah. But like, dude, you're like to have to blow into the fucking thing for your old man. Fucking loser.
Yeah. I don't know. It's so easy to get home these days.
I know. Well, that's
what,
the thing
around
is,
here. Oh man, I wouldn't be drinking and driving.
No,
around
no,
here.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, because fucking Uber.
Yeah, the revolution.
Oh, but
Uber.
Dude,
it's. But everybody thinks you're all right.
Yeah, but here's the deal. You realize that I think the numbers are you're more likely to be killed by a distracted driver than a drunk driver.
Sure. Yeah.
Fuck that. I'd rather you be fucking ballsy. I'd rather you be trying to drive the car drunk from the back seat doing a gagger full of coke the size of a Philadelphia stick than you fucking kill me because you're playing candy fucking
right,
crush.
Watching video. Jesus Christ.
You remember
while
there was a time
dude,
in this fucking country where you could find a bag of drugs on the street and do it without fucking being afraid of dying?
Yeah, there was a time.
Yeah, USA. Yeah. USA. USA.
No, I'd love to be back in those times.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Definitely.
Not wrong at all.
Yeah, so
here's your sponsorship package for the Sharp Dressed Man end of year holiday party. If anybody's feeling philanthropic, this is a great event. I will be there.
It is a great event. Yeah. Me and Brian and Hollis were there last year. It's at the Baltimore Streetcar Museum.
Yeah.
It's
cool.
Incredibly fun. There's some
Dude, the streets
friendly gambling.
We'll have this up.
Some of the street cars.
We'll have that.
Some of the street cars are actually from Philadelphia, from the SEPTA line, yeah. I believe, off of Erie Avenue, which was a couple blocks from my house.
It's a really cool event. It's incredible. It's really fun. Yep. You can ride a street car,
and the bar musical is on the street. There's a bar.
There's
in
a bar
the street
in the street car.
Car
yeah, you know, like it's a good. It's a good event. Awesome.
And the music will be great. The food will be great.
Was last year that wasn't the first one, or was it?
It was the
first
one there.
You know what? I wasn't. I was out of town. I wasn't.
I think it was the first one he did there.
I liked
something.
It's a cool. It's a cool spot. I've never been there.
Yeah, it's neat. I think they're actually talking about an expansion down there.
Yeah.
Nice. That would be awesome. Yeah. Do you have anything else? Or?
Tell me about the dog show.
It's not happening. Thanks for bringing that up.
Oh, well. why isn't it happening?
Just because.
What, I mean, it's not going to happen ever again?
No, if it's going to happen again, it's going to be Christmas time or the
holiday.
Well,
so that's
time.
Not that far.
No, but we had planned on trying to do it for Halloween, because everybody loves to put their dog in fucking costumes and stuff.
Right.
But Dennis from Checker Spot fucked me over. No, he didn't. I love Dennis.
Yeah. Well, explain to the people listening, the dog show.
No, Dennis is great. It's actually called Bestus and Show. So it's like a legit dog show, but it's fake. Whereas you bring your dog up, but then I have a dais full of comics that break your balls and ask you questions, that kind of thing.
If I had any
money, I would turn it into like...
So that you roast the dog owners that bring their dog up?
Yeah, if it's funny.
Oh, my God, that's fucking great.
Yeah. I mean, but then we ask questions about them. Everybody wants to gush about their dog, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Right? So, and it's a good time, and Checker Spot's great, but it was the same day as Barktoberfest, and that was the only other day that was available to do it. Excuse me, and I couldn't go up after, and I didn't want to do a costume event after a Halloween.
Right,
you
know? And also Barktoberfest. It's dog on dog. It's like two dog events in a row.
I can't go up against that.
Yeah, like it probably would be best to wait.
But my buddy Paz, he makes all these wonderful trophies. And
that's a good idea, though.
It's a good idea. What I should have done and what I was hoping to do was actually get a film crew to get me a reel or a trailer type thing and try to sell it to somebody. Because it's easy, dude. It's made for sponsorships. Again, everybody wants to. There's just positivity with the dogs.
Right. Nowadays, the dog thing is crazy. There are people that have jobs just walking dogs.
So there's the sponsorship opportunities. I was thinking about like having the side tents. Like, you ever see Antique Roadshow?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they bring the people in and interview them beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like having obviously a funny comic that I like to work with interviewing the person over there to be like the field announcer. And then I believe like I had Todd Fleming was going to come up. He was going to be Clarence Thomas, like biting off of what they do down there for the Washington Roast. Mm-hmm. Those guys are great. It was just that. That's fun. You know, probably do it around, maybe do it around Christmas, and I'll have a Santa and a Hanukkah Harry that you can get your dog's photos taken with.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You know, so I got to talk to them about that and check the dates.
You were telling us before we came down here about running into Jeff Ross. Was that part of the Meals on Wheels discussion?
Yeah, I didn't run into him. I was in Target, and I was looking for a Magnavox television. I was in Target looking for a Magnavox television.
My wife had, Amanda had one.
Really?
Yeah.
As I was going by looking at televisions, Jeff Ross popped up, and he was on the Wheel of Fortune. And obviously, it's Jeff Ross.
He was on the Magnavox TV, not in Target.
Jesus Christ.
I thought he was standing in Target.
That's what I thought.
Fucking you two. No, he's on television, and he's Jeff Ross, right? So I look, and he's like, they're playing the Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, and Celebrity Wheel of Fortune is for charity. And I had not, although I knew of Meals on Wheels, I hadn't really thought about going to do Meals on Wheels until I saw Jeff Ross tell me or tell everybody else that when he was a young comic, Meals on Wheels would look in on his grandfather while he was on the road, and it helped him, give him a little bit of, I guess, not have to worry as much.
Peace of mind.
Right? Peace of mind, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, right. Fucking, I'm losing my mind. I couldn't think peace of mind. No. Thanks for bringing that up, dickhead. No, I'm kidding around. And that's legitimately how I got to it.
Right.
I just was like, oh, I got to do that. But I was also, yeah, like I like with Chris. Like, I don't know, dude. I'm
that's
like
how said, you decided to do Meals on Wheels. Yeah. Seeing that, walking in, it's looking exactly at that Magnavox.
It. Yep, looking at the Magnavox in Target. yeah, and then I went straight to that. And, yeah, he's coming down. Hopefully he's coming down. He just launched his new one-man show.
Mm-hmm. Take a banana for a ride?
Yeah, and he seemed like he was really happy with the first night.
Take a banana for the ride.
Yeah,
Broadway
he's definitely
show.
Going to be one coming down. One-man Broadway right? show. He's definitely be
one-man show as opposed to what?
Well, just well, like a no, Broadway play or he's some not shit
gonna,
like that.
He's probably not going to have anybody open for him, right?
Right.
That's not a problem. I want him to come down to do if one take a ride with me for Meals on Wheels, maybe cut together some video, use it as a marketing tool to get other volunteers.
Yeah.
Because there are certain times of the year, like summertime and holidays, where people can't do their normal routes.
Right.
So they need substitutes.
Yeah.
So if he can come down to maybe help us put together a spot that allows us to give us marketing content to try to get other volunteers, that would be great.
Yeah.
If I could introduce him for his one man show, I'm not going to say no to that.
Right. Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And it would be great to meet Jeff Ross.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and you said that he liked some of your stuff.
I never said that.
No.
No, I said he liked. I said,
did I understand that?
You did. Okay, you did. Good. No, you're definitely not paying attention.
Damn.
What are you, my fucking wife?
Upstairs.
No, I did. Show. No, okay. When he was posting about his one-man show, I was posting, visit Baltimore. We want that show in Baltimore. Type
he was he commenting.
Dude, he's going to be great at either.
I'm like, did I hallucinate that?
No. I tend to leave out lots of important information on certain things.
No, that's what he does. Leppo does that.
I do.
Every time you come to Baltimore, stop by Sanity
He would
Lounge.
Be great at CFG if the show's that might be a little bit too big right now, but at the Lyric or the BSO,
right. Yeah, right.
He would be absolutely magnificent.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that's how I got hilarious. To that. Yeah, I got to Meals on Wheels legitimately by seeing Jeff Ross at Target on a Magnavox television, which I thought the picture was lovely.
You didn't buy it though, did you?
I certainly did buy it, but I went to Amazon. No, of course I got it at Target. Come on, dude.
That's fucking up. All right, so we wrap up the show by talking movies.
Well, not really wrap up.
Right. Yeah, like it's, you know. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. What
that's
you got?
The second Saturday shit show. Look at that Rosevine.
We're
going
to put it up.
Yeah,
It'll all be on
our calendar every month.
All right, so let's talk movies.
Yeah, man.
So, is that all the same flyer?
Some of this is the coaching. I also coach little kids soccer, 4 to 7.
See, you're nice. A fucking renaissance, man. That's
not real. No, my son, the reason I got here kind of late is because my son's starting at Carver in Towson.
Oh, nice.
He got accepted into the visual arts program, and he was at soccer tryouts, which he finds out
tomorrow. Nice. Yeah,
which
that,
is
that
interesting.
Feels cool.
It is, but they don't, it's a vocational school, so sports isn't like the main thing.
Yeah,
but
right.
They had like 38 kids try out, so they might have a JV team, and in that situation the JV team technically they play games but they don't matter, so it's only going to be the varsity. But I think Garrett will be a first string.
Nice.
Really?
Yeah,
nice.
He's been playing he's a shutdown defender. He's a center back, or he could do left wing.
Yeah,
he's ambidextrous. Like, he can kick left foot and right
that
foot. Like,
shit,
you don't
fucks
know
me
what
up.
You don't know what foot he is. That's where he's good with soccer, is that when he's coming at you, you really don't know which direction he can go.
He broke his arm and he had an art project due, and he drew like a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, yeah.
With
he broke his arm in October. Broke his arm in October, like bad, like playing. He got beat on the go, and he was backpedaling, and the kid gave him an elbow, and he went down wrong. But he ended up needing surgery. But we threw into like an immediate panic because he was in the middle of like building his portfolio to get into Carver, and mm-hmm. he just started drawing with his left-handed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was just like, oh, I can do this. Like, we're like, dude, this is amazing. He's,
right.
He's a good kid.
Yeah.
Good.
But yeah, I thoroughly
so, Mike, if you had to narrow it down, give me your top 3 to 5 movies of all
time.
Wait,
why were we talking about?
Because he was talking about.
Oh, I was just being a dick with the post.
Oh, you coach soccer.
Yeah, I was saying
yeah.
was something
that's right,
that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, yeah, give me one of those flags.
Yeah. No, I used to coach in Philadelphia, too, for my old high school. Yeah. Actually, you know that kid, Kevin Sullivan?
No.
The 14-year-old who's going from...
Oh, I know a Kevin Sullivan.
No, Kevin. Oh, no. You got to look him up. He's going from the Philadelphia Union to Man City, bought him. I used to play summer league with his old man. His grandfather told me that I played with a lot of heart, but that my feet were sharp bricks. Thank you, Larry Sullivan.
Thank you.
North Catholic Falcons forever.
That's this is my birthday.
Come on up, dude. I'll put you. I'll get you a buy one get one. Right. No, dude. If it's your birthday, come on up. I'll put you on the list.
Yeah.
That show's going to be great. Look at how great that show is. Rose Weinschenk is just fucking.
Yeah, I've
nuts.
Heard of.
Heywood, Heywood Turnipseed Jr.
Yeah,
I love that name. Hey,
Teddy K, Bam Jacobs,
Bam
Kurt
just
Ryan.
Won the best. Bam just won best in Harrisburg.
Special guest Mike Gray.
Yeah, he's I met
Host
him up
Mike
in,
Quinlan.
Yep, I met him up in at the show in Auburn. And Kurt Ryan is magnificent, and he's just a magnificent meme generator.
Nice. All right.
So if
top
you had,
five movies.
Yeah.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, man. That's
nice. Meloge for me.
Yeah. It's funny. I tell this joke about my mom looking like Danny DeVito, but not as sexy.
Martini.
Here's the funny part about it. My mom looks like Danny DeVito now, and she looked like Danny DeVito back when One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest was a film.
Right.
Yeah. That is, yes.
Yeah, because that was one of his first earliest roles. Yeah, he played Martini. Yep.
Was that before Taxi? I guess that, that was way before Taxi.
And Christopher Lloyd, Christopher Lloyd was in One Flew.
Well, that's the mystery. Like, everybody thinks Christopher Lloyd was old in Back to the Future. Like, he was not.
Yeah, right. You're right. It's like the Gandalf
He was not
thing.
Old. Yeah.
I feel like that guy, Ian McKellen,
has
been that
50s.
Age for
he was in his 50s.
100 years.
Yeah.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh,
yeah. I tell you what,
it's a heartbreaker.
I remember seeing that film. It's weird. You know how they're like, oh, you're going to go to a drag show and you're going to become gay after you go to one drag show, but you go to church for like 800 hours in your life. I spent so much of every Saturday on a bar stool next to my dad.
Right.
So I probably became sort of an alcoholic because I spent all the time in the bar type thing. So I'm not really sure about the drag part of it, but I do, and I'll get back to Leaving Las Vegas. After Leaving Las Vegas, I didn't see the film with my dad, but we both saw it. And I remember driving and asking him what he thought of the film. And he's like, it's not realistic.
Wow.
And I'm like,
I disagree.
Here's the deal, Art. My father was a world-class alcoholic.
Right.
I was like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, that scene in the supermarket, there's no fucking possible way that he drank that alcohol. He's like, I've tried that. There's no possible way.
Right, I believe him.
And I'm like, oh, you fucking...
Yeah, that's a different kind of critique.
Nick Cage has done two of the best Vegas movies, like on the opposite. Like, Leave in Las Vegas and then
Honeymoon in Vegas. If you haven't done it...
Honeymoon in Vegas is fucking...
Dude, have you ever done
have you ever done the Paisan, like the Color Rossi Paisan jug challenge?
No.
Chugging a whole jug of the Color... I have not tried it, but I've heard there was like a... There was like a trend, like not long ago, where people were trying to do it.
I mean, what's the proof? Like,
it's just wine, but it's the little jug, and you chug that. That I don't know what proof it is, but it's Carlo Rossi.
Yeah,
and
wine, man. I used to see fucking
it's
vapor
a jug
trails.
I have to look. I have to look up the details about that.
Yeah, but Leaving Las Vegas, man, that's a heartbreaker. It's you know,
absolutely.
And Elizabeth Shue. God, love Elizabeth Shue.
Wonderful
performance.
She certainly is.
Yes.
She's still alive.
Yeah.
She's still Elizabeth Shue. Yeah. She was in The Boys season one.
And she was in your Cobra Kai for one episode or two.
Lovely. Lovely. I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of movies anymore.
We go TV too. I mean,
dude, you know what's crazy about that? My wife would fight. I don't want to watch series. I don't. Can I just get a 90-minute show? Like
one.
Yeah, I don't want to.
I don't think they can get all the information.
Right. That's called a movie.
Right. Yeah, but dude, some of these series are thin writing, elongated so that the series can have greater content for the platform rather than quality content.
I gotcha.
The Carlo Rossi jug challenge was Carlo Rossi jug challenge is timed. Yeah, and if you throw up, you're disqualified.
Yeah,
but the record's like 27 minutes to drink that whole jug of wine, which
the whole
thing timed.
Yeah. I mean, people amaze
Carlo Rossi's potent, though. It's a heavy, heavy wine. It's just called, like, Red. Or, no, it's called Paisan.
Paisan, Johnny Alonso. Paisan.
Right. So that's not a challenge I'm probably doing these days in my life.
Yeah.
So leaving Las Vegas, like one flew, and you can't think of any others.
Let me think. I mean, an important film in my life was Rocky, obviously.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, that's so heartbreaking to find out Sylvester Stallone's a cunt.
Right. But, you know, in 76, when he ran those steps.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about that is that the neighborhood, Kensington, is one neighborhood over from where my mom lives.
Is that where the fruit stands were and shit that he ran down?
That was down. That was in Little Italy, I believe, which is a different part of the city. But yeah, he definitely ran under the L in Kensington.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
But those neighborhoods are. I mean, if you want to, Baltimore has at any one time I think 25,000 heroin or opioid addicts. And there are certain parts of the city that are alarming with these people. But if you want to see a place that is completely dystopian, you need to go on Kensington Avenue underneath the L in Philadelphia. It's sad. It's
heartbreaking.
It's because it's stuff I'll give you, for instance, my mom and I were, I take my mom on rides because she can't really walk very much anymore. Mm-hmm. So we drive around the city. And we're coming back to her house, and by one of the old
Philly or Baltimore?
In Philly, and we're by her house by Kensington Avenue. And I like food trucks, but I like food carts, the old silver ones. And we're going by the supermarket. And I go, oh, there's an old food cart, and I look at it, and there's two guys next to it, and I go, the fuck is that happening over there? And she goes, my mom's like, Michael, the man is shooting heroin into the other man's pee-pee.
Oh, God.
Right next to the food court, right? And it was as the crow flies, 6 blocks from my mom's house.
Right.
Yeah, which...
Right. Is that like the house you grew up in?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she still lives in the same house?
Yeah, she got 20 feet from where I got hit by the first car.
Right.
It's an epidemic, man. It's a serious problem.
Yeah. It's sad.
It is sad. And I got to tell you, that kind of stuff, like the placement of where you shoot the needle, that's just every day. They do it wherever you can find.
Dude, it was naive to be even like, I was like, what is he doing? Right. I thought he was blowing him. To be honest with you.
Right.
And I thought that was a unique place to blow somebody
next to the hot dog stand.
Right next to the hot dog stand. The hot dog cart.
Right, right. So. Well, Rocky 1, man, that's a great pull. So did you...
Rocky 2 is good also.
I got to tell you, I'm a Rocky 3 guy. I love Rocky 1 the most. But Rocky 3, Clubber Lang and the comeback, Mickey dying. Plus, you got to keep in mind the Apollo, when Apollo comes back to train him. It's just Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan. As Thunderlips in Rocky III.
You didn't know back then.
Right, in Rocky III, yes. Thunderlips, you didn't know. I mean, he was an asshole in the movie, and that was wonderful. Yeah. It was perfect.
Dude, after I found out that he sold out everybody, that's a dick move.
Oh, the Ventura interview,
Dude, well, here's the deal. The day he died, I haven't watched. I used to watch a lot of wrestling.
No, I
went
too.
To the Spectrum, went... Bob Backlund and Jimmy Snuka with the Coconut and Roddy Piper.
Snuka had a hard story there towards the end as well. Like he murdered some girl or something to that effect. Mm.
But I guess I was at the end of the Hogan thing when it started. I didn't really get wrapped up in it. And I was in Hamden. And the day he died, I didn't know what the fuck was going on, right? There was this old dude, old Hamdenite, good old Hamden. You want to talk about somebody fucking... You know I'd like to get deported? The fucking white dudes from Hamden. The fucking... to fucking Perkistan. So the guy's out front, of Royal Farms, and he's going, no! And I told you, I'm fucking Karen, right? So, and he's going, no, Hogan's dead. Hogan's dead. And I walk up to him. I go, dude, what the fuck? Are you okay? He goes, Hogan's dead.
mere fact that you walked up to him is nuts.
Well, dude, he's losing his fucking shit. And he's like, Hogan's dead.
Did you think he was talking about Larry?
Yeah.
Right.
I go, he was an all right governor, but this is a little uncalled for.
Is that what you walked up and said?
This is a little uncalled for.
He said, "Relax,
now,
guy."
Here's the deal. I knew he was fucking and talking about Hogan, but I fucking wanted to fuck with him anyway. Right. Hulk Hogan's a fucking douchebag, yeah. But he kept going like this. He goes, "There's no fucking WrestleMania without Hogan. It doesn't exist." And I'm like, "Dude, there's been a lot without him lately." Yeah, but I guess it doesn't start without him.
Yeah. Well, here's what I say to all this kind of stuff: is that the art you can hate. Like, it's very hard for me to turn off. What's the Michael Jackson? Like, there's some Michael Jackson songs. When they come on, I can't help myself. And when I grew up, there was about four years, 84 to 87, I was into wrestling. I like those years when, and that's what I remember.
Yeah, that was fun. The cartoon years, the sticker book years, coloring book
years.
Now,
that being said,
as
a grown man, you know, you find out that he's flawed, he's a jackass, he's an asshole, and everything like that. I still don't wish the man death, but it is shitty when your heroes end up being different than you thought.
Well, dude, look at Ric Flair. He's a complete piece of shit.
Ric Flair, goddamn.
He's a complete piece of shit.
His whole thing, I didn't know anything about Ric Flair.
I still don't. I mean, he's still kicking it, though. What's he doing?
How do you not know anything about Ric Flair?
I mean, I know about him, but I don't see... What's controversial about it? What's he doing?
Oh, he's a horrible human.
Well, as far as just, like, being a drunk and shit.
Yeah, but, dude, he's a victimizer.
Like, there's stories about him, like, with women... stuff being drunk.
There's a really good song that they're playing right now in rotation on TMD.
Oliver, it's a good song.
It's really good. What is that about?
It's about Ric Flair.
It's catchy.
Yeah, it's catchy. They're like, woo!
It's just a really good song, the dude loved
but Ric Flair.
But it's a positive Ric Flair song.
The singer loved Ric Flair, like loved wrestling. I mean, I don't know. But yes, it's a positive Ric Flair song.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong. I only know from like watching these wrestling shows and shit.
I don't know. All I know is watching reels of him in bars and shit, and he's never really an asshole. I don't really follow other shit.
He's just a narcissistic piece of garbage. Right. Yeah, John Nagel, fucking take that. I just fucking talked you down, Nagel. I was with Nagel yesterday. We were getting our hair cut.
And what is he? Is he a Ric Flair guy?
Oh, yeah. He's a Flair fucking writer? Weirdo. You're a weirdo, Nagel. No, I love John Nagel. Yeah. He was Jenny. We were up at Jenny T's salon in Towson getting our haircuts together.
Nice.
So, you got anything else that comes to mind film wise, or is Rocky one the last one you would think of?
Raiders of the Lost Ark was a big deal.
That's always a deal.
I remember seeing that on Frankfort Avenue. I think the Benner was the name of the
that movie is so incredible. It holds up. I love it.
Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah. It really does. All of the first, I think the first three are good, right? Mm-hmm. What's the one with Kate Capshaw?
That's two.
Yeah, that's Temple.
Yeah, the new one, the Crystal Skull where they got all it with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, that's
that
a
was
lot.
Not
I
good.
Hated
nah,
that.
That
one.
Wasn't good.
I did not. I liked the Dial of Destiny. I liked it. I thought it was great.
Just Phoebe Waller-Bridge drove me crazy because she was such an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. Apocalypse Now is a great.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great.
All right. Yeah, Apocalypse Now. I mean, you can't go wrong with the Godfathers.
Did you ever watch, like, if you're an Apocalypse Now head, there was a documentary Coppola's wife made.
Yes.
Hearts of Darkness. Yeah, I would say, because it's fucking phenomenal. Yeah. She started making it about the making of Apocalypse Now.
Damn,
but
Martin Sheen's still around. How old is he nowadays?
90.
He had a heart attack.
He's got it, yeah, because
he had a heart attack.
Right, and the last picture I saw him, he looked like thin skin old. Yeah. Like,
dude, I saw that with Robert Duvall is 95.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, then Sheen's probably
what
90s.
Was that movie back then? Hold on. The Robert Duvall movie where he's...
The Great Santini?
Yes. My fucking mom took me to see that.
Wow.
As a 5-year-old, she thought it was a fucking magician movie. I swear to God.
Dude, his performance in that
and
is
what's his name? No,
shocking.
Dude, the kid's performance. The dude who was later in... fucking later in Roseanne as the husband.
Oh, John Goodman.
No.
Roseanne?
Jesus Christ,
The Roseanne?
Christ, I got
the damn husband and Roseanne.
Not her husband. Like Darlene's. One of the...
Oh, the dude from The Big Bang Theory?
No. I swear to God, I'll kill
myself.
It's way
old. It's old. If he kills himself, we might go viral, actually.
Yeah, because my wife will keep clicking on it.
Blythe Danner,
it's a woman.
That's a woman. Yeah, we're talking about a guy. He said the husband.
Oh, I thought you were.
Go to this. Can
Blythe
please
Danner.
Ben Meacham?
Blythe Danner's the mom from Meet the Parents, right?
Yeah. That's your Gwyneth Paltrow's
mother. Yeah. My Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want just my thing.
What the Great Santini. What are we trying to find out?
So look.
The kid in the Great Santino?
His son. Yeah,
the Great Santini. Son. Duvall played a hard ass.
Yeah.
That anyway, was a great
yeah, my mom took me to that thinking it was a movie about a magician.
That's hilarious. All right, man. Well, so.
Michael O'Keefe?
Is it, if
played
it's
the son, Ben Meacham?
Yes.
So
yes.
Who is Michael O'Keefe?
There's that scene. Remember
Michael
the scene?
Michael O'Keefe was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you remember the scene where fucking DeVos hitting him in the back of the head with the basketball?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty.
Well, wait, what did you say, Michael O'Keefe?
Oh,
was
Michael
in?
O'Keefe was the dude in Caddyshack, like the
yes.
fucking.
Yeah,
he was
also
but he
in
wasn't
Rose-
in.
Ro-
he was
son.
In Roseanne.
He was.
Yeah,
I'm no,
you, look it up.
I don't
look
think so.
Up.
There,
look it up.
But you might be right. I mean, but I'm pretty good with this kind of shit. But that being said, I love The Great Santini Pool. I haven't thought about that fucking movie in a very long time.
Yeah, that was, I mean, those
and I don't know if anybody even remembers that. Like, it's one of the great Duvall performances.
Dude, Michael O'Keefe appeared in 35 episodes of Roseanne. As
lick
Fred,
my God. Fucking balls.
As Fred, the one-time
we'll
husband
go viral
of Jackie.
For that.
He was lick, the one-time husband of Jackie.
Lick
he
my balls.
Jackie's ex-husband.
The sister.
Yeah. 35 episodes.
Right,
30. Wow. Jackie's wife,
oh, it was,
husband.
Wow, it was the fact that I said it was the son. Oh, this guy over here.
Yeah
I'm good at that stuff.
Well, then you said Big Jackie. Bang Theory,
yeah, which
made,
is
put that
Johnny Galecki.
That guy's
Johnny
head.
Galecki,
yeah. I mean, that guy's face was in my
right,
head.
But he was probably wasn't born.
So I couldn't think of anything other than John Goodman or that guy.
Mm-hmm. Man, how much money must those guys be making off residuals
from Big Bang? Oh, God.
Big Bang Theory.
It's
one of the great. It's like Friends.
Show.
Yeah.
Did you like it? Did you watch it all?
Well, here's no. Here's the deal.
I love that show. Well, I've watched it all.
I've
the way
watched
through
a lot
times.
Of them, yeah. And everyone I love, and I know that I love it.
Big Bang Theory is where
I have yet to go from start to finish.
Right. No, but that. The Big Bang
but
Theory is though that has the thing with Sheldon and Amy, where Sheldon's holding Raiders of the Lost Ark, the DVDs, like. It's a perfect movie. Like, tell me something.
Is that right?
That, tell me, give that. Me a reason. Give me a reason that it's not the perfect movie. Drop my jaw, and then she's the one who says he's pointless in the movie. Without him in the movie, if he was not in the movie, everything would still play out the way it did. The Nazis would find the Ark. They would open it. They would all die. Indiana Jones plays no role in the outcome
and
of
how
that movie.
Sheldon
well, he's like sitting there and his jaws drop, and she like lifts his jaw up. They would have eventually dug the right spot, found it, took it, opened it, and died. Like Indiana Jones was just tied up when
that's
they.
That's an interesting
like,
game theory, but it's
without
not
him,
the
Nazis. What
the
he found
way.
It for the Nazis.
Yeah, but without him,
they would have still
have,
found it.
Allegedly.
They would have kept digging. They weren't far from it. Jesus Christ, he was near their camp.
Yeah, but Belloc was a punk.
Yeah,
like they might
have
gone.
They would
have
moved
way,
on, but
you know? That's
she dropped his jaw. It's funny. That's where because I've mentioned that before, and I couldn't remember where I heard it, and it was a Big Bang Theory episode.
All right, Mike, do you want to plug anything or?
No, second Saturday shit show.
September 13th on my birthday.
Yes, you're coming down. If my buddy Matt, who makes the posters for the second Saturday shit show, is doing an emo. Is he emo? Is it no new wave indie new wave at the Sound Bar, which is. There you go, Matthew. Sound Bar, which is on Falls Road.
He'll put those up. As
I'll put these up
thing.
As yeah. little teasers
yeah,
because
yeah.
this will probably come out
so
after.
That way
this will come out after that.
I would like
I'll
to get that
there.
Job working for WYPR with the Tiny Stool series. I think it should be funny.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
You should withhold any sponsorship relationship you have with them until said job is offered to me. Craig.
Do
you know Rick Farrell?
I don't think I know Richard.
He's one of the sales. He's who I. He's yeah. my handler.
Right.
Is he?
No, will. I meet with him every week.
Yeah, no, I was. I guess I did what he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's been around a while.
Well, Mike, this was a pleasure, man. And I think you're a great dude.
Yeah, appreciate
you're,
that.
I love that you're out there in the community doing good. And I hope,
I
for the love
that.
Of God. If you fucking fight the president's son
dude,
on
that's
the
an
White
open
House
invitation,
lawn,
dude.
I will never. I want the interview afterwards.
Oh, like, absolutely, you know, dude! I'll tell you what. You can interview me during it,
dude. Yeah. The exclusive
while he's doing it.
Yeah.
Oh absolutely. My god, that would be questions. Insane.
Chat I'll be GPT. Like,
I mean, yeah, dude, incredible.
There's a whole
dude. Here's the deal, though. Scenario. I keep tagging. UFC, I keep tagging Dana White, I keep tagging Joe Rogan. Hey guys, you're alpha males.
Right.
I'm a man of action. I'm trying to raise money for charity. Get in the ring. Donald Trump Jr. is 47. I'm mm-hmm. 54. Mm-hmm. I will fucking break one of the orbitals on his face. I promise you. And you know what? Not because I'm mad about him.
Right.
Just because it'll make it that much sweeter to celebrate the birth of the nation.
Yeah.
Right?
Interesting.
Did you also know that they're
is that
having...
Is that when they're
That's
doing
July
it?
That's July 4th.
Yeah, yeah, but here's the deal.
It's July 4th. They're having a USC fight on the White House lawn.
Yeah, 70 with million.
With guests.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, but before
like people are going to be there witnessing
he
it?
He just took out the whole Rose Garden. Put cement on it.
Yeah.
And they're going to.
And before it in the morning, they're having a Civil War reenactment, but this time the South wins.
I don't know. Is that right? I don't know if that's right.
I don't think that's
right. We do not support that statement. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But, right, you know, things are weird nowadays. But
so they're doing.
We still want to keep, you know.
Dude, but this Secret Service has to be losing their minds.
Oh my God! They might. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the logistics. Of
I
that
tell you
kind
what, Trump
fucking
park. Trump faxed me the Epstein file while I was taking a shit.
Accidentally,
I have it in the car.
All right. Well, Mike, look, it was a real pleasure.
That was great.
I'm thankful for you.
Thank you very much,
John. Fun. Stay
sane, Baltimore.
Awesome. You got it. Later, everybody. Thank you very much. Come see. Support any live art.
Awesome. 100%.
Yeah, dude, the energy.
Dude, Michael O'Keefe was in Roseanne.
Yeah, this motherfucker.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.